So I was asked to come here and tell you about the burden of my ministry that I have. It's called cross-country evangelism. And cross-country evangelism is a ministry that goes out into the public forum and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ and exalts Jesus Christ in the public, in all different places, wherever people gather. We go into all the world as we've been commanded to do, and that's the ministry. And I'll get into the start of that. But here, this is the verse that really stuck out for me when I was contemplating what the Lord would have me to do. And if you want to turn to me, it's just going to be one verse. It's in Mark 16, verse 15. You probably know it. And it says this, in Mark 16, 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So my ministry started really before so as of April 20th, next Saturday, I will have been in the ministry traveling now for 15 years. And we had the pleasure of last year being at the very place where it started 14 years ago. We all went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we got to preach right in the spot that I actually preached for the first time going on the road 14 years ago to that date. And but before that, the ministry really started. I started getting involved in evangelism around 2006, 2007. So what happened was I got to a point in my life where I saw my sister. She was on her 14th missions trip to the Ukraine and Russia. And she was going out and just serving the Lord. And I was thinking, she's going to have crowns to cast at the foot of Christ. I said, what am I doing with my life? So I got to a point where I cried out to God. I said, Lord, please use me. Let me not waste my life. I didn't, you know, I had a landscape company, and I was like, I didn't want to waste my life on a 9-to-5 kind of job, just day in, day out doing the same thing. And I said, Lord, I want to redeem the time. I said, I don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe you'll have me become a pastor. I said, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to have to go back to school, and I'm not that book smart, and I just didn't feel like that would be. But I said, whatever it is, you're going to have to give me the gift, and whatever you want me to do, I want to do whatever glorifies you. And he used my sister to guide me. She said to me, do you want to go on a missions trip to Jamaica? And I said, okay. And she also showed me Way of the Master with Ray Comfort's ministry on how to use the law in evangelism and how to, you know, just talk to people. And I was like, okay, so maybe this is what God has for me. And I started doing it, and I was like, okay, yes, this is what I've been called to do. And it was really interesting, you know. I got out of the Marine Corps in 1988, and then here I am, you know, years later, on the streets of New York City. You know, I'm a former Marine sergeant, and I'm afraid to hand a gospel tract to a little old lady. I'm like shaking as I'm giving it to her because, like, I've never did this before, and it was stepping out of my comfort zone. But I knew that this is what I had to do, and that's what the Lord called me to do. So I started doing it, and went on the missions trip, and really the Lord used that. It gave me Jamaica. If you know anything about that, they're really open to gospel things, to religious things, to things of God. Now there's a lot of lostness there, but for some reason they're just very open to these things. So it really like opened the door for me to say, hey, this isn't as hard as it seemed. It doesn't seem as hard. And I was like, okay. So I did that. And then in 2008, I went to the Ambassadors Academy out in California. That's Ray Comfort's ministry, where they take you out for 3.5 days and they teach you how to do evangelism, how to go out and to share your faith. And that's when I started open air preaching. I got out there and I was, you know, nervous, and they had this little thing back at the ministry in the back of his parking lot. We would jump up and do 30-second evangelism preaching called stoplight preaching. You know, if people stop at a stoplight, you have 30 seconds to share the gospel with them. And so I was like, yeah, I could do this. So I jumped up, you know, and I wasn't like prideful like I could do this. I was like, yeah, I think I could do this, you know. So I got up there, and like halfway through, I was like, and I couldn't talk. And they're like, John 3:16, they yell out to me. And I drew a blank. I couldn't think of John 3:16. And I just was like, I was mortified at this point. And now we're going to go out into Hollywood Boulevard. And I was like, how am I going to do this? But the Lord used that. And I got out there and I preached. And it seemed like the Lord just spoke through me. And it really opened up the door and gave me what I felt was all of the tools that I needed to be a full-time preacher traveling. So this verse right here that I just read, you know, and then Matthew, it says, you know, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore, this one, go into all the world. The go just started getting bigger as I read it.
Amen.
It was go, go, go. And I think of when Isaiah, the Lord says, who will go for us? And he says, here am I, send me. And so this go was just laid on my heart. And I went, I got to go. God gave me, equipped me with what I needed. He gave me the ability to be able to do the preaching. And I was just like, okay. So for about a year and a half prior to that, me going to the Ray Comforts thing in 2008, I was going out to the train station every day. Every day I would go out. And we had two different train stations, and I would hand out tracts to everybody getting off the trains, hand out tracts to people going on the trains, hand out tracts to the people sitting around the train station. So I would get everybody going on, get everybody coming off, and then I would see people reading my tract. And now I was like, I got to talk to these people now too. So I would go over and someone would be reading the tract, and I'd say, what do you think? Are you a good person? You know, and I'd get into these conversations, and it was really great. The Lord really used that to give me a good foundation in what he would have me to do. And so then I felt the calling, and I was like, okay, it's time to go. And I went to my church, and I said, the Lord's called me to go preach, and I'd like to have your blessing. And they said, we think you have the gift too. And so they laid hands on me and sent me out. And that was 2009, April 20th, 2009. So it'll be 15 years this April 20th coming up. And so the Lord has just laid it on my heart. You know, at first it really was like, I kind of felt as though it was, what am I going to do? But then that burden started to come upon me where, what am I doing? I mean, I'm the call to go out and preach, but I want to have, I care for people. I don't want to see people lost. And now I was like, this is what it's all about. This is what Christ did. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And I started thinking, man, there's so many people have no clue. They're not going to go to a church. They're not going to hear the gospel. And so that's what I want to do with my life, and that's what I've been doing for the last 15 years by God's grace, is going out and just engaging the culture and going out there and preaching the gospel to people. And, you know, I guess you would call me an evangelist, and I am. I'm a missionary, evangelist, an itinerant preacher, whatever you want to say, a preacher. But I kind of think of it as my evangelism is not just I'm an evangelist. I feel like that's who I am. It's what I'm made of. So like when I'm out, I'm thinking, I want to hand gospel tracts out to people. I want to engage people with the good news of the gospel. So it's not really like something that I have to do. It's just part of my natural routine and how I go throughout my day is, you know, leaving tracts and handing out tracts and talking to people and just even if it's like last night having a meal and then handing the lady a thank you gospel tract, you know, and making it intentional. This is a Christian message, you know, so she knows. And so that's just been the way that it's been going. And it's been an interesting journey, needless to say. I my first year of traveling and preaching, I kept a journal, and I probably have it somewhere, but it was really interesting, all the things the Lord did all along the way, how he kind of gave me these little bits of peace and joy throughout my ministry. You know, just when, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is getting tough, and all of a sudden he'd throw me a bone, if you will, and just little things like that. And I have, when I read the year that I did it, I did every day, I wrote 365 days of journal. It was hard because some days I wouldn't do it and I'd have to catch up. But when I went through it and looked through it, I was like, wow, look at the hand of God in that. And if it wasn't just for somebody else, it was for me. And it just kept me moving along. You know, and then I'm looking down the road here now, 15 years since that's happened. And the Lord's still been very good to me. I mean, even with all the things that have happened, it seems like he grows me. And I guess the more that I'm in the ministry, he can put little harder things on you to carry and heavier burdens to carry. And that's kind of what he's been doing over the years. And so when I started and I got on the road and I felt the Lord really calling me to do this, I packed up my car. I had the date that I was going to leave, and my church sent me out. I had $600 in my pocket, no bank account, a $350 car. I packed it up with some clothes. I even cut out a piece of foam that I could lay on if I had to sleep on in my car. And I went on the road, and I didn't know what it was going to look like. I said, Lord, I was scared right up to the day before. But the day that I left, he gave me perfect peace. And I've had that peace ever since. But right up to that point, I was like, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to trust you for everything that I need to be supplied, you know, throughout my life. I said, I'm trusting that you'll take care of me. And he has. And so I went out like that, and it was interesting. I didn't know what I was doing from day to day. I thought my goal was to go out to California. And so I had this in my mind that somehow I'm going to go out to California and work with the ministry, with Ray Comfort's ministry. That's all I really knew about open air preaching. And so I thought that was the case. Well, when I called up the ministry, I had, you know, went to the Ambassador's Academy. They were like, no, we don't need any help here. We got it under control, and kind of shot me down. But and the one who was in charge of the ministry, I talked with him for a while, and he was like, yeah, you know, we're okay, thanks. Well, the next day, I had on my website, there was a girl back home who was keeping my website up, and it would say where I'm going, what I'm doing, and people could keep track. Well, that same guy, he contacted me. He said, I want to talk to you on my radio show. So I was like, okay. So there was an online radio show, but it had a bunch of people that would listen to it. And he actually interviewed me about what I was doing. And I was able to get my my website out there, well, and gave my phone number. Well, people called me, people contacted my website, and it really started opening up the doors. For some reason, I still felt California. Well, the next day, I get a call and said, hey, if you're ever in Virginia, we can put you up, and we'll go out and preach. And we'd love to, you know, spend some time with you. So I said, okay. I said, thank you. But I didn't agree to go, right? So then I'm thinking, here I am in Lancaster, and I'm getting ready to leave soon, and I have nowhere to go heading towards California. But they're asking me that there's a place in Virginia. I was like, what am I thinking? Like, at least I'd have a place to go. I said, so I called him back up. I said, yeah, I'll take you up on your offer. So I was 5 days in Lancaster, then in Virginia, and just had a great time with them. And the day that it was a Sunday, they had a little going away party for me. And there was a couple there who were doing ministry, and they said, oh yeah, we're going to be out at the abortion mill, and then we're going to the college to preach. And I said, can I come? And they said, yeah. So I went out with them, did that. And I'm thinking, where am I going to go now? And they said, no, you can come back with us and you can stay with us. So I was like, great. Well, I stayed with them a week. I did a lot of ministry. I was starting to get my used to preaching now a little more often in the open air and feeling good. And but then I was like, what am I going to do? This is almost time to leave. Well, someone contacted my website and said, if you're ever in Virginia... This is how the Lord works. If you're ever in Virginia, I'm in Virginia, and I don't know where I'm going tomorrow, but they said, you can come and stay with us. So I said, okay, I'm in Virginia. I said, all right, we'll see you Tuesday. I go there, and it's a motel. And the people were the overseers of the motel, and they put me up for the whole summer, and I had my own hotel room. I would come back, I'd have my bed made, I'd have fresh towels, and they put me up for the whole summer. So, and then there was a bunch of guys in the area had different teams that were going out regularly. So I was preaching every day, going out there and serving the Lord. And it was just amazing about how, you know, his provision in my life, trusting that... you know, stepping out in faith. And so that's what's been the ministry has been a testing of God's faithfulness to us in providing all of our needs. So since then, you know, since traveling, I've traveled all across America. I've traveled across Canada. We did two trips to Canada, one for 2.5 months and one for 3 months. We went from one end of Canada to the other and back. And that was a great time of ministry. And then I've been to many countries. I've been to Belize. I've been to Mexico. Been to the Philippines. Guatemala. We do our annual trip to Jamaica. We just had our 15th trip to Jamaica. We do it every year. We go for 3 weeks. And we preach all around the country there. Been to the UK probably a half dozen times. Ireland.
Been arrested in UK?
I got arrested in Bristol, England for preaching the gospel out there. And we won our case. We were found guilty initially, but we appealed our case and we won our appeal.
Is that new?
No, that's... Now, our... Civil suit, we lost our civil suit. We wrote a civil suit against the police department, and we just couldn't. They arrested us unlawfully, and somehow they're allowed to do that.
Right.
We went to the highest court you can go to, the European Human Rights Court, and we lost in that. So I think right now we owe them somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 each. And I don't know if that's going to come out of my pocket yet, but so far it seems like it's been a while, so they haven't asked us. I think that the firm Christian Concern who took our case, I think they are the ones who are going to foot the bill because they get a lot of donations, so I think they'll pay for our... It seems like that's what's going on. But I could get the phone call saying, "Hey, you owe us this money." But whatever. It was kind of. We felt like we had to do it because there was no pushback. One of the guys that was with us got arrested by the same police department. This was his fourth time, And the other three times he went to court and he was not guilty and got his case dismissed three other times. So they were like, you know, picking him. And so we were like, listen, there's got to be some sort of pushback here, because if you guys keep doing this, it's just going to be a constant. They're going to just harass the guy every time he goes out. And they see that that nothing's happening. So finally we said, we need to push back. And we did. And obviously there was lawyers who said, you can't fight the government there. They're going to win every time. And they did. And so we thought that we had a chance, but they said no. So I think there's some sort of corruption in a sense there. I feel like there was. And so I don't, you know, so anyway, because we had another friend. So interesting, us being there, this pastor, when I was being prosecuted, he was in the courtroom. And he sent me a text after I left and I was found not guilty on my appeal. He said, I felt guilty myself for not doing what you are doing, going out and telling people the gospel. He said, and while you were being prosecuted in my country, he said, I felt like I was not doing what I was supposed to do. And that guy started going out regularly. And he's gone out for the last 7 years now. And he thanked me for he sent me a thank you for encouraging him by what we went through to have him go. So what happened was that same police department, they were harassing him. He took them to court, and he won a settlement out of court with them, the one that we lost to. But then like a week later, they arrested him for the same thing that he just won. So it's really messed up over there. So, but anyway, I'm sorry to... But that was part of my ministry of what happened. And in this ministry, you have to kind of understand that this is what happens. I went out to the Ambassador's Academy, and my pastor came out, and we were out there with two other guys. All four of us got ticketed. I mean, but it was good. It showed the church that this is what happens. Mm-hmm, yeah. You know, we weren't doing anything wrong. But the fact was is that even when you're out there, anything could happen at any time. And you know, I've been ticketed probably a half dozen times. I've got them all thrown out. I never had to pay a fine for them. I won all my cases in court. Any case that I've been accused, I had disorderly conduct. I've had noise violations, noise ordinance violations. I won every single one of them. But our civil suit, we didn't win our civil suit. But anyway, and really my main concern is I don't want to be a criminal. I don't want to get, you know, things with the law. But sometimes it happens, and we have to be ready for that. And just like we were saying as we read the Fox's Book of Martyrs there, we are in a culture that right now we do have freedoms, but they may start closing the gap on us just like they're doing in England. We see that. Every week you can see a preacher out in England getting arrested. It seems like every week there's a new guy getting arrested out there for some sort of thing. And it's all bogus, really, but that's the way it is. And then they have to go to court and go through all of this stuff. But the point of it is, though, is that, you know, we have the rights right now to do it. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the churches around the country, they talk about evangelism, but they don't actually go out and do evangelism. And I think it's important, because I'm saying, if we have the ability and the rights to do it now, while there's freedoms to do it, and you're not doing it, what's going to happen when they close those freedoms? Do you think you're going to go out then and do that? I know this church, I've had, you know, the blessings to go out with the guys here. And I'm not saying this church, I'm saying, but if we're not taking advantage of the fact that we can go out now into this public and proclaim the gospel while we have the right to do it, it's going to be harder when the rights are taken away. So I think it's important. And so that has been my burden, is to go out publicly and to tell people the gospel. And you know, and I want to see people get saved. I mean, it really is. But it's hard for me to, as it says in Matthew, to make disciples. Now, I do that. I tell people the gospel and I pray they become a disciple of Jesus Christ. But a lot of times, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I plant the seed and then I kind of move on. So it's hard for me to see any kind of fruit that happens. But I trust that God is using that. And it may take time for that seed to get watered. It may take time for it to grow. But I believe that that's what he's laid on my heart to do, is to go out and tell people. Because a lot of these people, they're not going to ever enter a church. They're never going to come. And when the doors are open here, how many times we've been on outreaches where we knock on doors and we bring out flyers and leave them on people's doors and we talk to the people there, and then we, even in the streets, how many people have said, yeah, I'll come to church, and you're like, oh, great, you know, and they never do. And it's kind of discouraging, but at least we're going out there and doing something. We're going out and engaging the culture and telling them that there's hope. And you never know, you know, those open doors, down the road, someone hits a hard spot in their life because of your faithfulness of saying, hey, we're the church down the road here. You're welcome to come and come to our church. And when the things get tough, they may look to you. So we cast our bread upon the water. You know, we don't know how the Lord's going to use it, but we trust him. So for me, you know, it's been a great journey. It's just been amazing, all the things that God has done throughout the years. And I want to be continually to be used by God to carry out this ministry. And it's churches, you know, along the way helping us and praying for us and do whatever they can to help us. And it's just been a great journey to be able to see the Lord and what he's done in our lives. And it's been a blessing to me, you know, as far as me coming alongside and meeting the body of Christ going throughout. You know, I'm getting to see the people that we're going to be with in heaven that most people aren't going to see, because I travel around the country and I meet all these different churches, and I have a community of churches that I go and I can visit whatever state I'm in. And it's just been really exciting and a blessing. And I'm just hoping that, you know, it's been 15 years. I'm getting older, getting weaker, it seems, you know. But I hope I have another 15 years at least to continue to serve and be faithful with what he's given me, the ministry that he's given me, and the burden for the lost. And I really do. I want to, you know, I think it was Horatio Bonar. He said, you know, we believe God is sovereign. He said, but we can get so caught up in that and not have the emotion or for the lost. He says, yeah, we know that God is sovereign, but it should break our hearts when we don't actually see someone getting saved, you know. And being out in the public like I am and dealing with hard-hearted people, my fear is that being out in the heart with hard-hearted people all the time, that somehow that's going to harden my heart. Mm-hmm. So my goal and my prayer for myself is that I would stay tender and sensitive and realize that these people are blind, that they're lost, and they can't see, and still have a compassion for them and a love for them, even though they may be my worst heckler and angry and violent. I look at the Apostle Paul and what he was he went to go kill Christians and put them in jail, and yet God took him and used him in a mighty way. And I don't compare myself to the Apostle Paul in any way, but my heart is that I want to be that, just like that. I want to be a guy who's, you know, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that would be my life's goal, and continue for God to use me in that way. And so, yeah, so That's been the ministry. It's been a great journey. Robert Gray has been part of that. So when I started cross-country evangelism back then, a few months later, Robert Gray, I got a call from him, and he told his friend, he says, you may think this is crazy, but I feel called to go and preach the gospel across the country and even the world. And she said, no, that's not crazy. My other friend's doing that right now. You need to talk to him. And it was, we got together, and we've been together now, co-laboring for almost 15 years together. And if you ask him, he'd tell you the same thing. It's been an amazing journey. And just to see the hand of God and all that has happened over the years, and it's just been a blessing. But yeah, so we've been faithfully doing that and traveling around the country. He says he's been to over 150 homes in his travels. I probably a lot more than that. I've probably been over 200 homes over the years, just people putting us up. Never had to sleep in my car. I thought that I'd have to dig in dumpsters to get food. I didn't know what it was going to look like on the road. I was ready to do whatever I had. Someone told me you can go to pizza parlors, and at night they give out the pizza that they didn't sell, and they'll give it away to you. I thought, okay, maybe that's what I'll do. You know, but by God's grace, I never had to do any of that, and I've never been in want, and the Lord has provided my needs, and I'm just thankful for that, and it's just a testament to God's goodness and faithfulness in being faithful with the ministry that He's given me, and that I can go out and continue to do this, and that He would give me souls for my hire, and just like Horatio Barna says, that my heart would be that I could see people get saved, and I would hope that God said, but I may not see it on this side of heaven until it's over. So, but thank you for your time, and I appreciate you as having me here to speak about the ministry, and thankful for you guys. It's been a great time with you over the years, coming in and serving with you. Thank you.
So if you ever want to see his website, just check out Cross Country Skiers. I'm just kidding. Evangelism.
How about I close this in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you.